commit this time to the Lord. So, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you once again to speak to us today through your spirits and through your word. And please prepare the soils in each of our hearts so that your will may be done among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is my topic today, walking in the spiritual realm. Over the past 2 weeks, we have been walking through chapter 1 and 2 in the Gospel of Mark together. I wonder how many of you have gone home and read those chapters again. Anyone? No. Well, my encouragement is go and read those chapters, not just the chapters, but also read the whole Gospel of Mark. I mean, we have 16 weeks, so you have enough time and you read it. You can read it fast, you can read it slow, you can read it like devotionally, but the most important part is you have to read it. If you not read it, if you don't read it, how can God's word speak to your heart? We have a Chinese, we have a lady from the Chinese congregation. The first week of the Gospel of Mark, I mentioned about reading the Gospel of Mark as a whole. She went home, read it twice in a week. That's amazing, right? That's a testimony. And then she said, every time she read it, God actually gave her the new insight to the Gospel of Mark. So I will encourage you to read it as well, okay? So while you are reading it, I also want you to ask this question. God, what is in your heart? What do you want me to do? Carry this question while you reading through the Gospel of Mark. And in the Gospel of Mark, John Mark gave us a very clear message. The message is, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. So this Gospel leads us to think of two important questions. The first question, what did it look like when the Son of God came into this world? Mark 10, the Gospel actually gave me straight answer from Mark 10, verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then that leads to the second question. What does that mean to me today? I ask myself the same question. Did I come to be served? Am I spending my time chasing comfort in this life, looking for what others can do for me? Or am I truly following the one that I call King, willing to serve one and serve others, even if it means laying down my own life? So I pray to God that this is the same question He will put in your heart as well as we continue reading through the Gospel of Mark today together. And that is actually the challenge the Gospel of Mark gave to every generation. And I believe especially relevant to our generations as well. Because someone say today, this world is start looking more and more like the first century Roman world, like Jesus' time, full of lust, many entertainments, but people are focusing on their own self. And idols, whatever we place in the center of our heart, they become our idols. And just like Mark's time, many Christians facing persecutions, hardships, and those are real. But if we truly understand how our God, our King, our Jesus, fulfill his mission, not by force, but through humility, through sacrifice, and through love, then we also have to ask this question. Are we willing to walk the same path? This year, our church theme is walking by faith. And if the one that we put our faith on is calling us to follow him in the same way he showed us in the scripture, what will be our response? So As we read through the book of Mark, we may have many questions. Another suggestion from me is ask questions. You do need to ask questions. Don't just let it hide in your heart. Ask the pastors, ask the leaders. We may not have many, we may not have all the answers, but we will walk through together with you. This is a spiritual journey, and you need one another as well. Amen? So, today as we look at Mark chapter 3, I want to invite you to reflect on just one very little small session. I know there was many different themes in the book of Mark. That is the session from chapter 3, 11 to 15. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, who he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So the one thing since the beginning of this book of Mark really fascinates me is how the Bible records so many instances of demonic activity during the time of Jesus. Have you got the same questions? Have you ever got these questions? Right from chapter 1, we saw Jesus casting out unclean spirits in the synagogues of Capernaum. And in the same chapter, verse 34, we were told that he healed many who were sick and cast out many demons. And here again in chapter 3, verse 11, it tells us, whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." Even in the last part of chapter 3, Jesus speaks of Satan's kingdom. Remember, Jesus said that, "I'm the strong one to come in. I'm stronger than God's kingdom," or Jesus himself is stronger than Satan, stronger than Satan's kingdom. He's the one that come in and plunder the possession of Satan. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us everything about where Satan and those demons come from. There are many ideas and debates about it. And today we are not going to those discussions and about those topics. But one thing is very clear. There is an unseen spiritual world around us. There is an unseen spiritual world around us. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic power over the present darkness, against spiritual force of evil in the heaven place." Now you might say, "I already know it. Why are you all of a sudden talking about this? I'm a Christian. I believe in the spiritual realm." That's good. That's wonderful. But my next question is, do we really live a life as we have such knowledge, we know this is real? Jesus described it as two kingdoms, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And Paul even put it this way, we wrestle against. And what does it mean? This is spiritual warfare. He was saying that it's a spiritual warfare happening around us. Amen? Jesus Christ, his mission on earth enlightens us and led us to see the coming of the kingdom of God and the spiritual impact it brings. What he did, casting out demons and healing the sick, was to give us a glimpse of the power of God's kingdom. Just like the mountain of transfiguration, like that event, he allowed the three. Who are those three in the transfiguration mountains? Peter, James, and John. They see the glory of God. They also see the glory of God's kingdom. However, the kingdom of God has not yet fully come. So this spiritual battle we're talking about has been continued for the past 2,000 years. But sadly today, the truth is many Christians today live as though the spiritual world have nothing to do with our daily choices and actions. We don't care. Yes, we said that we come to church, we feel with the Spirit, but when we go outside in our daily life, in our work, how many times have you thought about today, I have the influence in the spiritual realm? Have you asked that question in your family, at your workplace? Our impression about the spiritual world, may be just an impression shaped by the horror movies and those ghosts and demons that jumping out and scares people. But something feel like completely separated from our life. So now I want to share with you one of my story of my when I was 10. It was the Chinese New Year, and it was during the holiday season. I went out to play with my friend, and then we went to this big department store near our home. And as we were wandering around this, you know, the department store is quite similar to like Kmart and Target today. So they have this particular section with all the shelves and then with toys. Anyone like to go to Kmart toy section? I go there very often with my kids, and then I also pick some of the toys that I like as well. So we saw these little toys, just a little box of toys, and me and my friend, we really like it, but we didn't have the money. To us, we were 10 years old, and our pocket money just like on that day was just very little. So my friend came up a very special idea. He said that, how about this? Take off your jacket, wrap around your arm, and put the box inside there, and then we just sneak out. What's that called? Stealing, right? So, back in the older days, there was no cameras and no door alarm, and it was my first time. I listened to my friend's advice. Like, remember last week, Pastor Stewart was preaching about, watch out your friends, right? Yeah? I mean, we are just children, so we're still good friends after that. So anyway, I follow his instruction. I did that, and we start walking out of the store. He said that he would watch out for me. He would watch out the people, make sure the aisles there, they don't have anyone sees. And truly, there's no one actually there. As long as, like, once we walk out the aisles and we start to walk outside the door, someone grabbed my jacket on the back and I turned around. It was the lady shopkeeper. And what happened? My friend took the toy, leave me there, and he ran away to a different direction. And I also ran to a different direction. So I don't know where he went. And halfway through, I realized that, no, my jacket is in her hand. And that was the new jacket that my mom bought me for the Chinese New Year. I can't lose it. My mom is there. I don't think she knows that story, but my dad knows that story. I don't know whether they remembered it or not. Anyway. So at the end, I scratched my head. I went back to the store. And the shopkeeper scolded at me almost half hour in front of everyone. She said, I saw both of you from the beginning. Both of you are very sneaky, very suspicious, so I followed you. I was right there on the other side of the shelf. But because the shelf was too tall, both of us was shorter, she looked at us like this and was like, no one's seeing. And then she said, you have to pay 10 times fine if you want to get back your jacket. I said, I'm just 10 years old. I don't have money. And then she said, okay, 5 times. So I stand there. I don't know what to do. I want my jacket, but I don't have the toy. and I don't have the money. So I waited there, and then she scrolled at me. And the whole store, there was Chinese New Year. Everyone was looking at me. And some of my friends were there too. They were from the same school. So finally, we waited there until my friend came back. We don't have mobile phone. I can't call anyone. I just wait there. And then my friend came back with the toy. And then the shopkeeper agreed to let him go away to get the money. And then he went to get all his pocket money and came back. You think about it, five times is actually a lot, right? And came back, and I cried all the way back home. I went into my room. I cried all the way until my father came. He gave me a hug. And guess what? Will I do that again? Not that I remember. Isn't it scary when we think that you are alone and nobody is watching? You do something sneaky, not knowing that in reality, someone has been watching you the whole time. And I'm not trying to scare you. But actually, I'm trying to scare you. It's this kind of paradox, okay? We have to realize this. As a Christian, we have been watched all the time, whether we realize it or not. We are not just watching by the people around us, but also by the angels, good angels and bad angels, the universe. Because Paul put this way in Corinthians chapter 4 verse 9, we have become spectacles to the world, to angels and to men. In other words, it was actually talking about Apostle Paul himself, but also applied to us as well. We are being watched, not just by the people, but even in the unseen realm, the whole universe. Would that scare you? Just to remember, the devil has no authority to harm us directly because we belong to Christ. But the evil one will observe. They will wait for the moment of our weakness and is constantly looking for open doors, whisper lies, and try to lead us into sin. And here's the thing. He doesn't always act immediately. He waits. Maybe the first time someone crossed the line, nothing happened. Oh, nothing happened. The second time, again, nothing happened. The third time, nothing happened, until eventually we fall so deep into the trap that we don't even realize it was like we were in. And then he started to accuse us. He filled our heart with guilt and shame and used it to tear us down from inside. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this. Be sober-minded. That means self-control. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And that verse really, actually not just a verse, the picture really reminds me of that lady shopkeeper. When she scolded at me. I mean, I'm not trying to demonize the shopkeeper. She was just trying to do the right things. And I was the one that made the wrong choice and had to bear the consequence. So let me just give you an application example. Sean McDowell, he is an apologist, a researcher, a YouTuber. He pointed out that through his research, the use of pornography is rising globally. And sadly, that includes within the church also. And many of them didn't see that as a problem. That was actually through the research, through the survey. Many of them didn't see that as a problem. I'm not saying this to judge anyone, but we do have to face that honestly. So why do they think that is a problem? Why do so many believers also fall into such a temptation? Very often because they think that this is private. No one is watching. But then That exactly the enemy is using to loop people in. And once they fall into that such temptation, that habit, the lies also follow. Well, I'm not hurting anyone anyway. Just myself in the screen. But that's not true, because according to his research, pornography is not harmless. It will affect people's thinking. It damages people's brain. It damages people's heart. Damages people's relationship, family, and it breaks trust between husband and wife, and gives the devil the opportunity to accuse people. Many of the effects cannot be seen by our eyes, but it is damaging. Most of the time, the devil attacks Christians not really from outside. They attack from inside. Devil sneak in our heart through those times we open the door, through our thoughts, our feelings, our habits. So often, when we overlook the spiritual side of things and just see it as a matter of personal choice, we're actually in the danger of opening the door for the enemy to slip in to our spiritual territory. The same can be said when Christians fall into unhealthy relationships. You know what I mean, right? Unhealthy relationships. And it's not always because a person is spiritually immature. Actually, many church leaders who fall into those traps are considering spiritual strong. So yes, our action carry consequence, and it brings spiritual impacts to the oneself, to ourselves, but also to those around us. As a church, we need to restore our witness. We need to live a way that reflects the reality of God's kingdom. Of course, our God, He's merciful, He's redemptive, but doesn't mean that damage isn't real. It takes time to recover and to restore. Destruction is easy, but it takes a long time to rebuild, right? That's why we must stay awake and alert. Be watchful, just like Peter says. Do not follow our sinful desire and fall into the trap of this world. The world may be saying that, yes, it's okay. But we Christians, we know that is a spiritual warfare happening every day. So we also need to gently warn one another. Amen? Oh, good. Oh, good. Praise God. So I gave you the warning, and now I want to give you the good news. The good news is that the Bible also clearly let us to see that Christian, we carry spiritual authority, and it's given by Jesus. Amen? So from the, I forgot to put the scripture over there. It's from the scripture that we read in the book of Mark chapter 3. He gave them the authority to give the disciples the authority to go out to preach and to cast out demons. And that is the way Jesus trained his disciples. He wants us to carry on as well. And this wasn't just limited to the 12. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we see Jesus sent out the 72, his followers, and gave them the same authority to cast out demons. I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy. And do you remember last year when we studied the book of Acts? We see clearly, as his church, we are also called to continue the ministry of Jesus. We carry the mission that Jesus entrusted to the apostle. We are the continued story of the book of Acts, right? And the authority that Jesus gave to the apostle, he has also given to us. his church. So no, it wasn't just for the apostles, because if the apostle, if his authority, his gift is only for the apostles only, then today we'll be missed out so much, right? But I mean, many of Christians today no longer believe that will happen. It's just like how we often completely overlook the reality of the spiritual realm. Just because we don't see it happen, but it doesn't mean that it does not exist. Is that the rain or is that me? Yeah. So why we don't see so many demon activities today in our modern world? Have you asked that question as well? Yeah? Have you ever seen cast out demons, anyone? Okay, we have brother here. Praise God. He's a good witness. And then we have another brother here. Yeah? Yeah. It's rare, right? Well, this is my theory and my explanation. Today, our world around us is full of distractions, temptation, and spiritual numbness. Then the unclean spirits or the devil don't even need to show off their power anymore. We already tripped over by the things of this world. But when we look at all the historical accounts and even many modern testimonies, especially those who are from the mission fields, in places where people once deeply engaged in idol worshipping, unclean spirits have been encountered and cast out in the name of Jesus. And many verified, when I say verified, it's documented, miracles have been recorded. It is true. It is real. You don't believe me, you just go and search. I can pass you some of the books as well. It happens because we believe the Holy Spirit is still at work. So Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, says, truly, truly, I said to you, whoever believes in me will also do the work that I do, and greater work that this will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Can we have the next slide, please? The slide, yes. Yes, that's the one. What is Jesus saying? That the thing that you have witnessed him doing in the Bible, cast out demons, healing the sick, proclaim God's kingdom, you will also do. Not just do, but what? Do greater things even. Wow. Why am I putting this picture? Imagine that you're working on a road construction company and your job is to craft a road through the mountains. Why I'm using, this is AI generated picture, it's real, right? Yeah. So, anyway, we can move, if your faith is like mustard seed, you can move mountain. That's why I use mountain. So, thinking about you are crafting a role, you are in a construction company, and at the start, you see your leader, your boss, digging with a very powerful excavator. And then after that, he hands the work over to you and say, now come, you will do this. You will do the job. In fact, you are going to do a greater work. You dig through all those solid rocks. And then what tool does he give you? A silver? What would your reaction be? Are you joking? But Jesus is not like that. He said, whatever you ask in my name, and next slide. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it's neither seen him nor know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is like Jesus saying, I'm not just giving you the excavator. I'm sending my best engineer team to work with you. In fact, you can use all the resources of my company, actually not company, the kingdom of God, as long as you continue the mission I've given you and do the work I call you to do. And that is shine for God, proclaim the good news to the end of the world, and make disciples. Can I have the next slide, please? And then he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is saying, you have all my gears, and you are not fighting this battle alone. I'm right beside you. You know, sometimes we wonder, why is that we as Christians today don't often see miracles or experience God's kingdom authority? Can anybody tell me why? Honestly, anyone can tell me why? Sister Maria? Hey?
Lack of faith.
Lack of faith, okay. Sister Ken? We still carry our old self.
We don't put on
our new identity. Okay? Yeah? And also because we often don't do his work. Right? Honestly, remember in the book of Acts, when Peter held on the hands of the lame beggar, and that was seated near the, can you hear me? Hello? You know, there was a beggar sitting next to the Gate of Beauty. Is that sweat, something? Okay. Can you hear? Yes? No, I can hear from this speaker. But it's not over there. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes, one
second. Sorry, it's a bit sweaty. Do you remember the book of Acts? When Peter was holding the hands of this beggar sitting right next to Gates of Beauty, near the temple. You remember that? And what Peter said? Anyone remember what Peter said? He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And 1,000 years later, the Roman Catholic theologian Thomas Aquinas went and visited one of the Pope. I think his name is Pope Innocent II. But I don't know why, but he called himself innocent. So the Pope was sitting there. I mean, that was just, we're talking about medieval times, like in the Middle Age. So, and we know that during the time, the church is rich, right? So the Pope was counting the money. And then what he says is this, you see, Thomas, the church can no longer say, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas answered, that is true, Holy Father, but neither can she still say, arise and walk. So Christian, Jesus Christ have already given his spiritual authority to his church. That includes you. Go and exercise it and testify his authority. And you might ask, how do I use those spiritual authorities? Let me tell you, start with your prayers. Your prayers carry authorities. Your everyday life, not every day, Everyday life is the mission field God has placed you in. Our spiritual authority is not based on geographic, it's based on relationship. The relationship that we have with Jesus and with others. So pray for your family with the authority. Pray over the workplace with the authority. Even pray for your local church with your spiritual authority. This morning, I think we've been doing this quite a long time already. We have the prayer team. Pray for the church. Pray for our service. And you know, sometimes Pastor Aaron was just mentioning that we come over here. Sometimes we have discussions. Sometimes when I come in, I see him was just walking around this hall, and he's tapping the chairs. And is that because the chair requests prayer? Is that the things, Pastor Aaron? Was that because the chair requests prayer? No. Why? Because he's exercising his spiritual authority. He's praying for you. For those who are coming to this place, this morning our prayer team is also praying for you as well. We're not praying for, like, say, okay, this hall is going to all of a sudden become so beautiful. No, we're praying that you will have a breakthrough in your life. We're praying that the God will speak to you through the word that comes through. If you experience breakthrough in your life, just remember someone has been praying for you. Amen? The mission to connect heaven and earth was first given to Christ. And now it has been entrusted to his body, the church. That means you and me. Our prayer is powerful. It's not because how beautiful our word is, but simply just because we believe and we pray. And because the one who we pray to hear our prayer. And the one who we pray to is the same one who give us this authority. He is the one who bring transformation. And what is his name? Jesus. Can everybody say together with me? Jesus. And what do we need to do? Simply this. Trust him. Draw close to him. Stay spiritually alert and be transformed. And be faithful wherever he has called you. This is what we believe. Amen? So, this is today's message. Shall we close our eye and bow our head? So if today's message you think is relevant to you, God is touching your heart and you are telling God, Jesus, I want to experience your great power and I want to experience your transformation. I want to walk with you and help me and bring transformation in my life. If that is you, could you please raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Anyone? Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you see every hand that's lifted up, every heart that want to walk with you, to follow you, just like the disciples in the Bible. Lord, please draw us close. Help us experience your power and your authority. open our eyes, open our ears, and break every chain that holding us back. Change us from inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me pass the time back to Pastor Aaron.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. Can we just give him an encouragement? All right. I think it's very true. A lot of us, we know that there is a spiritual realm. We heard of it. We know that there are such things as angels and there are demons. But I think Pastor Jim has rightly pointed out that a lot of us, sometimes or quite often, we live as though there are no angels and there are no demons. We live as though no one's watching. But there's always a war happening in the spiritual realm. And there's always, the evil one is always trying to get us down. And he wants to deflect us. And he will do whatever he can. But the only encouragement, or the main encouragement that Pastor Jim would share, and I will share with you with this other verse, is this. God has already given us the victory. He has already given us spiritual authority. But we need to pick up our rod of authority and use it. If we don't pick up the rod of authority and use it, we can't blame no one. Because it's on us. We need to resist the devil. And how do we resist him? By picking up our spiritual authority through the Word of God. Resist him. Submit ourselves to God and say, Lord, this is your Word. I submit myself to your Word. That's action on our part. We need to resist the devil. We need to submit to God. And then what will happen? The devil will flee. So this is something as simple as that. But it's about getting us living it out in our daily lives. So I want to reiterate one point that Pastor Jim mentioned. Our spiritual authority comes from our relationship with Jesus. No relationship with Jesus, no spiritual authority. Because that was exactly what the seven sons of Sceva wanted to do. They tried to cast the demon out. They said they commanded the demons to leave by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. They had no relationship with Jesus. And the demons replied, the seven sons of Sceva, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? No relationship, no authority. When we have a relationship with Jesus, then we will realize the authority is not ours. It's His, and it comes from Him. So when we go around praying for people, we will also realize that our prayers are not done out of pride or arrogance. That as if I'm the one doing it, as if I'm the one casting out. No, because we will realize that the only reason why we have the authority to do it is because of Jesus and our relationship with Him. So I want to encourage you, as what Pastor Jim has been encouraging us. Christ has given us the authority because the authority is for the mission that He has given us. And the mission is to make disciples. The very work that Christ did, which is to set the captives free, to open the prison doors, to preach the good word to the good news to the poor, this is our mission. So who in your workplace, who in your neighborhood, who in your family will the Lord lead you to pray for, to set them free and to open the prison doors? May the Lord lead you in this. Amen. You have lifted your hands, you have availed yourself to the Lord. May the Lord lead you and give you the joy of experiencing the power of the Spirit working through you. Shall we rise and shall we respond to the Lord with this song?